Grace be yours and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Under our general theme, we preach Christ crucified. We look this evening at Paul's words in his letter to the Philippians. We read there in the third chapter, verses 7 to 11. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God. How can the thematic statement for our sermon this evening even be true? Jesus' death is more precious than life. How can death be more precious than life, particularly death on a cross? Crucifixion was one of the most horrible forms of execution that existed in Jesus' day. It was such a cruel punishment that by law, no Roman citizen would ever have to be subject to its tortures. Still, Jesus thought his death on the cross more precious than his life. Jesus didn't save himself from the cross, but he offered up himself on the cross in the act of complete redemption for the whole world. The Apostle Paul felt the same way. He wanted to share in Christ's suffering and death, because he knew that by doing that, by losing his life for Christ, that he would then share in Christ's new life in his resurrection from the dead. As Christians, don't we confess that Jesus' cross is more precious than life? Don't we confess that that act of redemption, everything Jesus did to pay for my sins, we might say summarized in the cross, is far more precious to us than anything that we have in this life, even that life itself? So, say again, in your hearts, these words with me. I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Unlike Paul, none of us, as yet, have lost everything for the sake of Christ. Aren't we willing to do so? Isn't that the confession we make as God's children? Jesus' life was not exactly empty or was not exactly without fame early on. When you think about Jesus' life, there was a lot there that he could have wanted to hang on to, wasn't there? Early in his ministry, he was very popular and large crowds followed him. He would do miracles like turning water into wine and being commended through the host of providing the best wine at the end. He would feed thousands and thousands of people twice. And on one of those occasions, the people were so excited about what he had done that they wanted to take him and make him a king. There was a lot of things in Jesus' life that he might have wondered or thought about or thought, well, this is really something that I want to hang on to. Think of not too long after his baptism when this local person, this local boy made good, returned to the synagogue of Nazareth and was asked to stand up and read the scroll of Isaiah to his family members and to his friends. That's not all there was, though, was it? The crowds began to diminish, not after too long a time. They rejected him and didn't want anything to do with him when he wouldn't let them make him the king of their stomachs. His old friends and his neighbors answered his reading of Isaiah and claiming to be the servant of the Lord the prophet was writing about by trying to grab him and planning to throw him off a cliff. The events of Jesus' life were not for him the signs of either his success or his failures. And isn't that true of us, about Jesus? We don't look at those events that I mentioned and others when they were up as signs of Jesus' success, and when they were down, signs of his failure. Looking at a couple others, likely we would not, in our blindness by which we judge things as good or bad, would consider some of the final events in Jesus' life as anything that were very precious. One of his closest friends betrayed him with a kiss and turned him over to his enemies. The Roman soldiers took Jesus and beat him to a pulp. The high priest and the Sanhedrin responded very much like the people in the synagogue at Nazareth, when the Christ rightfully made claim that he is the Son of God, they accused Jesus of blasphemy. And then they crucified the Lord of glory. Those were the moments Jesus considered the most precious in his life, because they're all part and parcel of the events that we know as his passion. All of those events surrounding the cross, his rejection, his suffering, his death, we put them all into that basket labeled Jesus' passion. His death in all of those things, with all of those things, was to Jesus more precious than life, because he had come to die. He had come to offer himself up on the cross. That was for him his success. By completing the work, by completing the mission that his Father had sent him to carry out. They were all pieces of the Father's eternal plan to redeem the world from sin and from death and from the devil's power. The gauge of success for Jesus is Jesus' cross. That's why we preach Christ crucified. That's why Jesus' death is more precious than life. To Jesus, his cross was the fulfillment of all that he came to accomplish and did accomplish. Recall early in Holy Week, Jesus told his disciples, "Now my heart is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour?" No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Jesus' death is more precious than life to him, because by doing it, by carrying out his Father's will, his Father would glorify the Father's name. The glory would go to his Father for sending his Son and then accepting his Son's sacrifice on the cross. That was the humble attitude of Jesus, that his death was more precious than life. That is the same attitude that the Holy Spirit worked in the heart of the Apostle Paul. He had written earlier, "Let this attitude be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself." And Paul humbled himself in that same attitude that Jesus had, that Jesus' death is more precious than his life. Paul had that attitude because the Holy Spirit had changed Paul's mind about what really counted, about what was important. Paul listed some of the things that he had earlier considered important, what he counted as precious to him in his life. "My confidence in the flesh. I was circumcised under the law. I'm a descendant of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew among Hebrews. I was a Pharisee among Pharisees with a zeal to persecute Christians. I was faultless in my own righteousness." Earlier, Paul had considered all those things a gain. And so he tabulated those things. He recorded those things, tallied them on the profit side of the ledger. But now things were different. Those very same things he now tallied and recorded on the loss side of the ledger. No longer were they to his gain. No longer were they for his profit. He considered them a loss. He considered them rubbish. Not to put too fine a point on it, but the Greek word there means the rest of the digested food in you that comes out of your body later. That's really what that Greek word means there. It also could mean the food that was thrown away from the table and left as garbage at a feast. But either way, it was not anything to be desired. It was, in fact, the complete opposite of what he had thought. What he had staked his life on, what he had staked his righteousness on, he now considered that rubbish. He now considered that he was best off to lose those things for the sake of Christ, for the surpassing greatness of knowing, of believing in Jesus Christ as his Savior. The Apostle Paul now recognized and treasured the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith that we've been talking about and hearing about in our lessons from Romans on Sunday morning. And we heard last week on Wednesday night, "Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. The Apostle Paul considered Jesus' life, Jesus' cross, his death, his resurrection, everything that's involved with the cross, as more precious than life, as more precious than his life. And so he wanted to share in Christ's sufferings, not to pay for his own sins, of course, but to be connected to Christ, to lose his life for the sake of Christ in faith. Because then being connected to Christ in that faith, in that loss, he would also then be joined and connected to Christ in his new life, in his resurrection from the dead. As we are united in the suffering and death of Christ, connected to him by faith, we are also then united with him in his resurrection from the dead for our resurrection from the dead. And Paul didn't just write about that faith. Paul lived that faith and he died that faith under the Roman sword, or under the sword of a Roman executioner. There's a little bit of a misunderstanding about Lent that's sort of been getting under my skin a little bit this year as I read different articles in the paper and hear different things. And that is that Lent is about me. It's about me confessing my sins, and it's about me repenting for my sins, and it's about me living my life for Christ. Now, Lent is a season of repentance, isn't it? And we do talk about repentance and repenting of our sins. But Lent isn't primarily about me. Lent is primarily about Jesus' cross. Lent is primarily about the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. Lent is about looking up to the cross and seeing from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Is not that sight more precious than anything that we have in our lives? Even life itself. At the same time, we don't want to denigrate. We don't want to look down on the things that God gives us in this life. They're great blessings for us to use to his glory. But Paul here is making a comparison. He says, I consider them rubbish. I consider them a loss compared to the surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. So in comparison, there is no comparison between life and Jesus' cross. The risen Christ did not blind us and throw us to the ground along the road like he did the Apostle Paul to change his mind, to give him that new outlook, that new perspective about what he had once thought was gain, so that he would now consider it loss, so that he would no longer persecute Christians, but would share with them and others that wonderful good news of Jesus as Savior. For us, it was different. Somebody, maybe our parents or our sponsors, carried us to the baptismal font. Or maybe you walked there yourself, already having Spirit-worked faith in your heart through the preaching of God's Word. But either way, it was at the baptismal font that we received that connection to Christ, that Paul also writes about in Romans 8, that we were buried with Christ in baptism, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And there again we have that phrase, the glory of the Father. It's to the glory of the Father who accepted His Son's sacrifice that He made us His children through the gospel in word and in sacrament. The Holy Spirit has changed our outlook. He's changed our ledgers. He's changed our view of things. Now we sing with convicted and happy hearts, "Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood." How in the world can death be more precious than life? It is the death of Jesus Christ, our Savior. This is what Jesus believed, that His death was the most important thing. This is what the Apostle Paul believed, that Christ's death was the most important thing. And he wrote about it for us. Jesus' death, Jesus' cross, is the most precious thing to you and to me. How could it be any different? How could it be any less? Amen.